Pushkin.
You can find inspiring stories almost anywhere. For instance, check out the co-founders of Girls Who Do Interiors. This Miami-based design company was started by three friends when they were still in school. And right from the start, they turned to Chase for Business for everything from banking and payment acceptance to credit cards. And they handle them all in one place with the Chase mobile app. It's so important to have that kind of help when you're just starting out. Learn more at chaseforbusiness.com. Make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JP Morgan Chase Bank NA, member FDIC. The most innovative companies are going further with T-Mobile for Business. The PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with AI coaching tools and 5G connected cameras. AAA is getting more drivers back on the road fast with location telematics. And the Las Vegas Grand Prix is powering race day operations with 5G connectivity, giving fans an experience at the speed they deserve. This is accelerating innovation with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I had just turned 20 like a month earlier, and I woke up one morning to this sound that was, it sounded like a fire alarm. Like if you woke up to a fire alarm, you would be in a state of emergency. And that's what it felt like. And then it took me a few seconds to realize that the sound actually wasn't coming from anywhere. It was coming from inside my own head.
That was 7 years ago. And every day since then, Ramzi Kabaz has continued to hear that same persistent sound in his head.
If you're inside and you live on a busy street and there's a truck backing up, the beeping sound that it makes to kind of let pedestrians know, it's sort of that volume, but it's not like a punctuated beeping. It's persistent. It was literally the only sound just completely dominating my headspace.
This change Ramzi experienced, it was something doctors were able to name and describe. They said it was tinnitus with sudden hearing loss in his left ear. But they couldn't explain why it happened to Ramzi. So he went searching for his own answer. I'm Maya Shankar, and this is A Slight Change of Plans, a show that dives deep into the world of change and hopefully gets us to think differently about change in our own lives. Ramzi Kabaz remembers the exact moment this happened. He was a sophomore in college. It was Thursday, October 16th, 2014, a little after 9 a.m., when he woke up to a high-pitched ringing in his left ear.
I remember running to the bathroom and like literally looking inside of my ear and feeling inside of my ear and trying to figure out like what had happened. Like, did I fall asleep with my headphones in? Is there something inside of my ear? And obviously there wasn't. And I was really freaked out. I called my mom and I was like, hey, I think something's really wrong because I woke up with this ringing in my ear and now I'm feeling really off balance. And I'm talking to my mom on the phone and she's, you know, asking me if I want to, you know, for her to come pick me up and take me to, you know, the doctor or something. And I switched hands at some point. You know, I was holding the phone with my right hand and I switched over to my left hand and the call dropped. And I was really confused. And I was like, hello, like, you there? And there was no sound. And so then I switched hands again and she was back and the call was back. And I remember putting it together that, oh my God, I can't hear anything out of my left ear. I think this is, it's not the call dropping. It's my ear isn't working. So I asked my mom to say the alphabet. She's confused, but she's like, okay, A, B, C, D. And I switch over to my left ear and there's nothing. And then I switch back over to my right ear and L, M, N, O, P. And I, you know, at that point I was like, I really think that I need to go, you know, go to a doctor because something's not right here.
And did this doctor know immediately what was going on?
So this is kind of where I started to get a little frustrated because, you know, he was telling me, yeah, you have sudden hearing loss. I was not in a good mood, as you can imagine. I remember saying to him, yeah, I know that. Like, it's pretty clear to me that I have suddenly lost my hearing. Could you tell me why? Could you tell me what happened? The best they can do is just call the condition what the symptom is. And I remember he listed off to me a bunch of possible reasons, and it ranged from you know, I had a concussion the previous year, so that was, it could have been a residual side effect of my concussion. It could have been something related to my jaw. It could have been an autoimmune reaction to some, you know, some virus. And then the one that he told me at the end that really freaked me out was, you know, because you're so young, for something like this to happen, it's possible that you have like a brain tumor. And I remember hearing that and thinking, oh my God, like, you know, this is really fucking scary.
Do you mind just describing what it was like lying in your bed that night?
I think just fear, you know? It's like when somebody tells you not to think about elephants, you know, and then all you can think about is elephants, having the persistent tone, that ringing just so loud and no other sound in that ear, just like filling my head with fear. And the fear was just like literal. It was literalized by the sound that was not going away. And I was more or less told by the doctors that it may never go away, that sound may just stay with me forever. If you try to go to sleep with that sound playing in your room, that's how difficult it was for me to go to sleep that first night.
So you wake up the next morning and that ringing is still in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Did it take your conscious brain just a moment or two to register this new reality?
Yeah, I remember waking up and realizing or thinking and worrying that the only silence I would ever get for the rest of my life would be when I was asleep.
Mm.
Like there was no such thing as silence anymore. And what I remember about waking up before this happened to me was, you know, that feeling of like you wake up and it's just quiet. It was like waking up to an alarm.
Wow. You had a brain scan to figure out whether or not you had this tumor in your brain.
I went in for the MRI. And if anyone's ever gotten an MRI on their head before, you go into this little, like, it feels like a coffin almost, or like a tanning bed. And you like slide in and there's a loud sort of whirring sound. But they gave me headphones and they were like, hey, like, what kind of music do you like? We can play whatever you want on these headphones. And I was like, all right, well, I like Bob Dylan. Can you play some Bob Dylan? I think they had Pandora at that point at the hospital. So they put the headphones in. And I think the first song was like, I don't know, maybe like a Rolling Stone or something. And then the Pandora formula gave me Simon and Garfunkel's The Sound of Silence.
Oh, gosh.
So I'm in this MRI machine, you know, like weeping with The Sound of Silence playing and this loud whirring of the machine and the loud ringing in my ear. And in retrospect, it's like dark comedy, you know, just not knowing like what kind of information I was going to get back from this test. And luckily, you know, thank God I did not have a brain tumor. I think that I was not really reassured by the fact that I didn't have a brain tumor. I was grateful, of course, but it didn't bring me the kind of peace that I think it maybe should have or could have.
You know, one thing that's so interesting about tinnitus, so maddening about tinnitus, is that unlike many other challenges or afflictions we face in life, you can't get a respite from it, right? You can't just take a minute away.
It was really hard. I mean, I think I have the language now to describe it as like a mental health crisis. You know, I think I was really going through some depression at that time and a lot of anxiety because, like you said, there's no rest. You know, there's no relaxing. And it made me realize that, like, having some quiet is really important. Having a chance to, like, leave class and just kind of sit on a bench and, like, not think about anything is really important. And I didn't know how to pause anymore. And so I think that led to a lot of anxiety. And then there was sort of this deeper psychological thing that happened, which is this fear of my body just failing and things just failing for no reason. The depression part of it, or the, you know, the hopelessness part of it, was more of like an analytical thing happening in my brain where I sort of did some transitive property calculation where I was like, well, like if I woke up one day and this happened, then like what could happen tomorrow, you know? And that led to a lot of fear and a lot of, you know, some depression.
Mm. Which thing was troubling you more? Was it the physiological sensation of having this constant ringing in your ear? Or was it this new realization about your own fragility and vulnerability and the fact that your body could just fail you at any moment in time?
Well, to me, they were related because the physiological experience of being distracted and being, you know, not having rest was acting as a reminder of the existential stuff. The existential questioning and, you know, those big sort of difficult, morbid questions, like, were just as persistent as the sound, if that makes sense. Because to me, like, not having the brain tumor, you know, I think I was trying to tell myself that, like, okay, well, the worst didn't happen here. You know, like, things aren't that different. You know, it could have been so much more different if chance had sort of broken in a different way. And so I think I was not being honest with myself about the fact that, like, the condition that I was experiencing was really dramatic.
We'll be right back with a slight change of plans. Have you ever put a little too much trust in those grocery bag handles and ended up with your favorite snacks spilled all over the sidewalk? Well, probiotics can't help with all of your gut decisions, but if your gut needs a little support, Ritual has your back. They made a 3-in-1 supplement called Symbiotic Plus with clinically studied prebiotics, probiotics, and a postbiotic to support a balanced gut microbiome. Stress, travel, food choices, and plenty of other factors can throw off your gut microbiome. That's where Ritual comes in. They created a 3-in-1 supplement to support the relief of frustrating digestive issues. I take Symbiotic Plus every morning, and I always appreciate that it's a single minty capsule. Its delayed release is designed to help survive the harsh conditions of the upper GI tract. And with no refrigeration required, Ritual makes it easier to keep this part of my daily routine even when I'm traveling. There's no more shame in your gut game. Symbiotic Plus and Ritual are here to celebrate, not hide your insides. Get 25% off your first month for a limited time at ritual.com/slight. Start Ritual and add Symbiotic Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/slight for 25% off.
I've interviewed many successful people over the years, and one thing I find fascinating is many of them don't consider themselves business savvy. Take the owners of Tight Knit Brewing. They turned to Chase for Business for everything from banking and payment acceptance to credit cards, and do all of it in one place with the Chase mobile app. And that's helped these brew-loving friends turn a passion into a business. Learn more at chaseforbusiness.com. Make more of what's yours. Chase mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Ramzi Kabbaz could not find a medical explanation for his tinnitus, even after speaking with over a half dozen doctors about it. He tried to find ways to cope with it, but nothing was working, and he continued to feel despondent. One night, about a month after this all began, he was out with his girlfriend, and they noticed that an old movie called Hannah and Her Sisters was playing that night at the local theater. Neither of them had seen it, so they bought two tickets. And as a warning, this next section contains a brief mention of suicide.
And it's a movie where basically there's one subplot where a character who's like a hypochondriac wakes up with like a ringing or a buzzing in his ear. And he kind of freaks out, goes to the doctor, and the doctor tells him that he might have a brain tumor. And then he is sent down this like existential spiral. And I'm sitting there watching this movie, like, you know, my like nudging my girlfriend, like, can you believe this? Like, this is pretty fucking weird that like this is happening sort of on the margins of this movie. Like, this story is exactly what I've been going through these past few weeks. And then he's basically suicidal in his apartment, and he has a gun, and he's like, the gun misfires and he kind of freaks out. And so he leaves his apartment, is walking around New York City, and he wanders into a movie theater, and he sits down, and it's like an old Groucho Marx movie that is really funny and makes him laugh. He says that basically the fact of walking into this movie theater and feeling comforted by movies was sort of restorative of his like spiritual crisis. And so I'm sitting there in the theater, like looking at this character, looking up at a screen, basically recounting exactly what I was experiencing. You know, I loved movies. I was studying movies at that time. Like, I wanted to be a director and a writer. It felt meaningful. And I think that that's one thing that I really clinged on to. So I was feeling hope because the movie reflected my experience in a way that felt so unlikely that it must mean something, you know?
It is such a common feature of human psychology to want to create narratives and stories for ourselves to try to make sense of our lives. And this tendency, this aspect of human nature where we're always trying to build stories is one of the reasons why we are so resilient.
Yeah. I mean, well, there's that famous Joan Didion quote, we tell ourselves stories in order to live. I think it's true. It's like we all have this narrative about ourselves. I think when something unexpected happens for a reason that doesn't track with what you've been telling yourself about yourself, you need to fit it into your story somehow.
I'm wondering what impact the tinnitus had on your relationships.
The way that I was coping with it socially was to kind of just withdraw, I think, for the practical reasons of not really being willing or able to go to like loud spaces like parties and concerts, but then also for the psychological reasons of just feeling not super fun, not super fun to be around. Like I wasn't making jokes. I wasn't a great hang at that time. You know what I mean? I remember I was living in a house off campus, and I was sitting on the porch of the house, which was like a little bit elevated above the sidewalk. And it was dark, and I could hear some people kind of walking on the sidewalk below. And I heard someone say my name. I heard someone say like, oh, like, doesn't Ramzi live in this house? And then I heard a second voice say, yeah, fuck that guy. And I was just like, I was like, oh shit. Like, should I make myself known? Like, what do I do here? And I realized, I kind of like took a peek, and I realized that the person who said that was one of my like closest friends from freshman year. And I can hear the guy saying like, yeah, like, I don't know what happened to that guy. Like he never wants to hang out. Like, I haven't seen him in so long. Like he was clearly hurt that like I had kind of fallen off the map. And man, like that was a really important signal to me that like my inability to communicate about this experience honestly with people, and my tendency to just withdraw instead of offering some kind of an explanation was actually like, you know, people were experiencing that in a way that was absolutely not what I intended. I had sort of let some people down, I think.
Was this a big turning point for you? The realization that, you know, I don't know how to communicate about this to others. And I think, as you mentioned, I don't know even how to communicate this to myself. Was that a strong source of motivation for you to really aggressively confront this problem and tackle it on an emotional level?
Yes, it was a bit of a turning point where I just became more aware that, like, I can't just deal with this as something that, like, was a dodged bullet just because I didn't have a brain tumor. Like, this was still a big deal and very formative and very consequential to my development. And I need to just, like, say that to people when they get to know me, because it's an important factor in my story.
Mm-hmm. I'm curious, Ramsey, whether finally acknowledging what a big deal this was in some way helped you better manage the physiological experience of the tinnitus.
I think there was two distinct recoveries. There was my psychological sort of reasoning of the experience and becoming more honest with myself and others about it. And then there was simultaneously a physiological thing that happened that I don't know how to explain, where my brain just stopped perceiving it the way that it did initially. I'm really interested in how my brain was able to, over time, learn how to not be alarmed by it anymore.
I know in the case of anxiety research that if you find ways to feel less threatened by an anxious thought, it really does lose power over you and can become something you notice less. Does this mirror your experience with tinnitus?
When I think about the sound, I used to think about it as like some kind of like a conscious enemy, if that makes sense, like something that I was fighting, you know. And now when I hear it, like right now, I can just kind of like stop for a second and be like, yep, there it is, still there. I don't think of it as an enemy. I literally just think of it like, you know, it's my hand, or like it's my finger, you know, like it's just a part of my physical self. It's just there, you know. Sometimes I'm a little like, ugh, like I wish this could just go away. But other times I'm just like, yeah, it's there and doesn't bother me. It's not, I'm not fighting it, you know. And I think I remember the first day that I realized that I hadn't thought about it the previous day. Where I woke up, I was like eating breakfast or something. And then I like remembered it, and it was there like it always is. And I heard it. And I remember thinking to myself, like, holy shit, I don't think I thought about this yesterday. Like, I don't think I perceived this sound all day yesterday. I don't remember pausing and getting frustrated. I don't remember thinking about it, hearing it, like turning on a fan to mask it. I think I just went the whole day yesterday the way that I would have if I didn't have this ringing in my ear. And that was inexplicable to me, and like so comforting to know that like it didn't need to go away in order for me to not perceive it.
When you put different labels on an anxious thought, right, as not being the enemy, like, you know, it's the equivalent of visualizing wanting to like smash the anxious thought with a baseball bat versus imagining that it's a thing in the sky just floating by you, and you notice it and you acknowledge it and you let it pass.
Yeah.
And it's the same thought in the same way that it's the same sound for you, right? But it just doesn't have the same power over your anxious brain as it did before.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never thought this before, but I've never put this together, but I think of it as quiet now, I guess, if that makes sense. Like it is my version of quiet. When I can't hear anything else but it, that's just sort of my like my meditation space. That's what it feels like to me.
If I had asked 20-year-old Ramsey, how's this whole tinnitus thing gonna play out for you, What's required in order for you to be okay with this? What do you think he would have said?
I think I would have had like a determination about me to resolve it medically. Because I remember at that time, I went to, no joke, I think I went to like 8 or 9 doctors. And the fact that I didn't get an explanation that was satisfying to me was so frustrating for so long that like, I think I just wanted to continue to track that down. I think I would have probably told you, like, I'm going to figure out what happened and I'm going to solve it. I'm going to get my silence, because even if it doesn't mean that you're going to get what you want, sometimes an answer feels like it's like fool's gold, but like it feels like it might make a difference even when it won't. But obviously I would have been wrong. Like, I can't even be bothered to read like a research paper that my like med school friend sends me now about this. Like, it's not only that I'm not actively pursuing an answer or a resolution, it's that I'm like indifferent to it.
Hey, thanks for listening. Join me next week when I chat with Grammy-winning singer-songwriter Kacey Musgraves. We talk about her upcoming album and the impact a psychedelic trip has had on her creative process.
Literally the day after my experience, I mean, it was like the neurons were just firing off, like insane. Imagery, perspective. I mean, there was a massive explosion of creativity, ideas, the whole concept for my new album that I've been writing.
A Slight Change of Plans is created and executive produced by me, Maya Shunker. Big thanks to everyone at Pushkin Industries, including our producer, Mo Laborde, associate producers, David Jaw and Julia Goodman, executive producers, Mia Labelle and Justine Lang, senior editor, Jen Guerra, and sound design and mix engineers, Ben Tolliday and Jason Gambrell. Thanks also to Luis Guerra, who wrote our theme song, and Ginger Smith, who helped arrange the vocals. Incidental music from Epidemic Sound. And of course, a very special thanks to Jimmy Lee. You can follow A Slight Change of Plans on Instagram at Dr. Maya Shunker. Do you visualize it at all, though? Like, does it have a shape or a form? I've always been curious about that.
This is going to be kind of weird. I've never answered this question before. It feels like a shooting star, kind of. Like, there's some kind of like a fluttery, sparkly shimmer around the very direct, fast, straight line, if that makes sense. That's a cool question. I've never said that or thought that out loud, but like, that's pretty much what it feels like.
Wow. Shooting star.
Yeah. Just like straight, bright, thin, and like you notice it. It's just a shooting star in my ear. Everyone wants a shooting star in their ear.